You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes in the West Indianapolis Community News, and today was supposed to be day one of player season previews. I have Goga Batadze written down on the player season preview page, but we got to pivot because big news coming all over the place from the NBA today. First, we got a report from Jared Weiss of The Athletic in his postmortem about the Celtics, talking about Gordon Hayward and options with him as the Celtics lost in a round. Gordon Hayward entering a player option season. He wrote the following: Indiana is still home for the Haywards, and with Victor Oladipo looking to move on this offseason, according to sources, and Miles Turner possibly in the same boat, there could be an opportunity for Ainge to move Hayward and the abundance of draft picks in his war chest in a mutually agreeable way. So, implication there of a Hayward trade, possibly with those two guys involved. But I am not going to care about the Hayward part. We're going to dive into the first source report on Victor Oladipo wanting out this offseason, which would basically be right now. And Turner included in that too. It's all conjectures. Well, sourced conjecture, I guess. For me, it's conjecture because I'm a person from a person. So we'll do a segment on that. And then Doc Rivers, fired by the Clippers. Doesn't sound like, and it doesn't relate to the Pacers if I just said Doc Rivers fired by the Clippers, but it totally affects the Pacers. And that's two segments. I want to talk about if Doc could be the Pacers coach, and then also just the ripple effects it could have. But let's start with that big report bomb from Weiss and from The Athletic. Not a throwaway line. You know, that makes it sound bad or like not placed in the story. It's placed perfectly well. It's a great bit of reporting. It's just a line that mentions what Vic is thinking in the context of how it relates to the Celtics, which makes it seem like, you know, a lesser part of the story. And that's in response to what I saw a lot of people saying on Twitter to, you know, discredit this report. Jared Weiss, great reporter, covered Celtics for The Athletic, saying, oh, it's just a one line in a story. Well, yeah, but it's a sourced report about, you know, a guy who's plugged into the league. So Oladipo looking to move on this offseason is the quote here. So I think we've seen a lot of signs pointing at this direction for a while, but never any concrete reporting on it. You know, the weird stuff with Shams, Scott Agnes reporting a while ago, the rift between Depot's camp and the Pacers after his injury. At some point after the injury, I don't know exactly when, stuff like that said, okay, maybe this isn't the marriage that it felt like it was in 2017-18. Now we have this. Not good. So I think that in Depot's case, some of it will have to, like, his happiness in Indiana will have to do with their potential success next year. He's always talked about winning and money being important to him. If he thinks he can win more somewhere else, maybe he'll leave. But I'm surprised to hear the source reporting on that coming out this offseason. Not that he might not want to move right now. You know, obviously the team that he's most commonly linked to, the Miami Heat, are literally in the finals as we speak. But I just thought that it would take longer to get to that point, or I don't know, but what, like, longer into the season, but whatever. So from a Pacers perspective, if this has been notified to them from Depot, and I'm not even saying this has come from Depot, maybe it's in his camp yet or anything like that. I don't know who his sources are. It's multiple sources. It's sources with an S there. But anyway, I don't know who those sources are, but if that's been relayed to the Pacers, surely they may pivot to look for a trade. But anyway, from their perspective, and Caitlin Cooper articulated this in a tweet well, and me and Adam have talked about this on the show before, doesn't make a ton of sense to trade him now. It seems like he's, like I've said on the show, his value can't really go down prior to the trade deadline. Now, the machinations of trades that may be available come trade deadline time may be smaller as teams, you know, are no longer going for it or anything like that. But I don't think Depot's value can go down. He didn't play super awesome in the games. This still is unclear who he is coming back from this injury. His value is definitely at a nadir right now to me. And at the trade deadline, that nadir could just be longer. Like, it could just be a super wide valley. So there's no reason to do it now. The opportunity cost could be that he recuperates some value during the season, and then you do it then. So And you can bet on your own culture then, if the team really wants to do that. I'm not saying they should do that. If he is unhappy now, that betting on the thing that has made him unhappy might not be the move, and that's if he's unhappy. But it just makes sense to me to wait longer into the season to do anything unless he, you know, demands a trade and makes it public and really forces their hand. I don't anticipate that happening, but if he is looking to move, maybe he'll make the play. So that's our first sourced report on the Depot stuff. That's just it kind of felt like it was coming as all the fingers kept pointing that way, but it's unclear where it's going to lead to or if it's going to happen or if there'll be a response. Maybe we'll hear something from someone this week about it or more concrete details. So we'll see about that. The other part of this that I have to get to is and Miles Turner possibly in the same boat is the line. That possibly is interesting because, you know, that seems this is unsourced, but, you know, obviously it seems like what Turner's future is kind of rooted in the coaching hire, right? After they hire a guy who wants to go modern, one of the centers is gone, and it's probably Miles Turner or Sabonis. It's just an all-star, stuff like that. You know, again, the coach could pick Turner over Sabonis. That's possible, but it totally makes sense that Turner could even think that he wants to go somewhere where he can either get more touches or play in a way that he feels is more beneficial to him. So that line, that and Turner possibly in the same boat, is not a source report, right? No one is coming out and saying Miles Turner is looking to move on from Indiana right now. It just says the situation could call for a Turner trade this offseason. And that makes sense. We've talked about that in the show, why he's the most likely guy to get moved. And I ranked Depot second for this exact reason, because at any time this kind of report could come out where Depot is looking to move on from the team, all of a sudden it does not make any sense to keep him. And then to pivot, people have asked me who my favorite trade recipients would be if the Pacers do decide to trade him now. I haven't really thought about that yet. So if stuff happens this week or if this report expands further, you know, the finals are still going on, and I just don't know that now is going to be the time that this really heats up, although it's possible. If more of this goes on, maybe we'll talk about it next week. I'm not sure. But we are doing shooting guards for free agency next week, which could become all the more relevant. So who knows? But there it is. It's out there now. The first source report from a major publication saying Oladipo is looking to move on for the Pacers. And a lot of people kind of speculated this was coming. A lot of the signs pointed this way, but we've reached the point finally. The Turner part I would not read into until a coach is hired or even anything like that. But yeah, it's super interesting to see. I'm not sure what comes next. I think we'll need more info. I think any fan needs more info to react appropriately. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where this progresses, because the Pacers are in a tough spot. I like to see how teams navigate these situations, and I understand Depot doing what he wants to do. You know, he's a player who can do whatever he wants, and I understand the Pacers holding their ground and saying we don't think your trade value can get any worse. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's a big deal. It's a big deal for the Pacers, and you know what else is a big deal for the Pacers, but to a lesser extent, is Doc Rivers being fired by the Clippers. Now to talk about why it's a big deal for the Pacers after this break, and in that break, we are going to start off by talking about the great people at Rock Auto, because chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, which is stupid. RockAuto.com's prices, they're the same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. At RockAuto.com, they offer the lowest prices possible. Rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear for auto parts like airlines do, RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or an account login. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps. They're a family business who've been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. RockAuto.com has a catalog that is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Go check them out at RockAuto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at RockAuto.com. And the other people I want to talk about with you this break is DoorDash, because you have counted on restaurants your whole life, entertainment, food, all that. Now they, in this pandemic, are counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, although Stage 5 did just begin in Indiana, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. They have over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia that you can support. Your local go-tos for your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle or Wendy's or your favorite local places. The deliveries are now contactless to keep the communities they operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code, all one word, LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. So the big NBA news today, Doc Rivers out as Clippers head coach. Shocking move from the Clippers. I mean, shocking might be a stretch because I'm kind of burying my opinion in here too. I don't really think Doc Rivers has done that good since like 2010, basically. You know, he won that title in late 2000s. I believe it was 2008. I should know that, but the exact year, but whatever. His Clippers stint has been really long, right? Started in 2013. He won three playoff series in that whole time. And that just seems crazy to me. And I talked with Lucas Hahn. He used to do Locked On Clippers, covers the Clippers still for 2 and 3 Hoops. He is tremendous and plugged in with him. And I think he's right that the Doc's best coaching is not for the teams like the Clippers now or the CP3 teams, right? You know, I don't think Doc Rivers is like a championship level coach. The roster the Celtics had that he won with was insanely good. But anyway, I've diverged too far from the point. But Doc is better with the teams that are like pretty good to make them perform better than the roster. Anyway, I'll get to that all later. Huge bomb from the Clippers. I mean, even with just three playoff series wins in so long, really good players, coach. Players seem to like playing for Rivers. I think Kawhi cited Doc Rivers as a reason for like joining them last offseason, which is crazy. And he, again, notorious for being good with players, good with media, which for me is cool. But this far from removed from their season too, right? The entire Nuggets-Lakers series had been played. So it's been over a week since their season ended. So to have all this time to get through it and then to do it is just super interesting. But Doc Rivers now a free agent. So what this does impact the Pacers, before I get to Rivers potentially as a candidate for the Pacers specifically, what this does to impact the Pacers, right, first of all, is it's another appealing job for coaching candidates, right? The Pacers might be like the fifth most appealing job now, which is just crazy to think about. There's six available head coaching gigs right now. Philly, the Pelicans, the Clippers, the Pacers. I'm missing one. The Thunder and the, I can't remember whose. This is embarrassing that I did not have this in front of me at the time of starting. But anyway, there are a lot of head coaching openings. And I mean, I imagine the Clippers are now the sexiest option, right? Because you get to coach a team in LA that has a very good shot at the title, has Kawhi and Paul George, and has a great infrastructure and owner that's willing to spend, right? That seems like the perfect place for Rockets is the team I forgot. Gosh, that's embarrassing. That seems like a great one. Rockets, same thing. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, they're going to be really good no matter what. Shot at the title. 76ers, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. Maybe not a shot at the title, but a shot to do a lot of dangerous stuff. Pelicans, you get to coach Zion for a long time, and they're looking like they're going to be dangerous possibly as soon as next year. You can debate the Pelicans one, but there's a lot of jobs. Basically every job except the Thunder, there's a reason to say, yeah, that's a more appealing job than the Pacers. So another opening above them does make the hiring process harder for them. The two guys the Clippers were linked to right away were Ty Lue, who's currently an assistant for them, although Ty Lue apparently interviewing with Rockets, 76ers, and Clippers this whole week, but it seems like the Clippers should have a leg up if he was already an assistant for them, and Jeff Van Gundy, current broadcaster. But so it seems like another, you know, what it could do is, you know, force the hand of the Pacers in a way, right? I know that the rumors of D'Antoni swirling, and it seems like he is up higher on the candidate list for Philly than he was earlier in the process. So maybe that Mike D'Antoni ends up with Philly and the Pacers can't get him. But this, like, the opening in the for the Clippers means, okay, maybe now we see Lou go to the Clippers, which means Philly, the only guy they want is D'Antoni. And then, well, the Pacers just can't get him. Now, what it also could do is the flip side of that is the Sixers, who apparently already have, could reach out to Doc. I think Mark Spears of ESPN is who reported this. I want to double check on a quick Google while I'm talking. But the Pelicans for sure, and maybe the Sixers as well, have already reached out and they want to get Doc Rivers. So that would be a way that it could get D'Antoni to the Pacers if they really do have all the interest in him. Yes, that is correct. Philadelphia did already reach out to Doc Rivers, according to Mark Spears. So there's where the ripple effects hit the Pacers, is that not only is, you know, obviously the Clippers opening does change things in terms of appeal, right? If they want a guy, they might have to compete. And Billups, and Chauncey Billups, another guy a lot of people like, played for the Clippers. Apparently, Ty Lue wanted him as an assistant at some point. Now, the difference is if the Pacers are offering a head coaching job instead of assistant, that's different. But, you know, that's just another area where Chauncey could maybe want to go. It could lead D'Antoni to Philly, again, if Lue goes to the Clippers, right? There's a lot of layers that could affect the Pacers if you want a certain guy. If you're looking for an assistant, and I'm kind of starting to lean more that way, although I still think I have D'Antoni higher on my list than most people. If you want an assistant, then maybe this is good for you. This will pull the other coaches to the jobs with the stars that are already there and force the Pacers to kind of look at these assistants. But, yeah, I think it's super interesting that the Clippers did this, super out of left field. But three playoff series wins since 2013, we'll do that. That's a pretty crazy stat. I mean, it's felt like to me the Clippers have had more success than that. And they've lost the Warriors a lot, right? That's noble. It is what it is when you lose to that Golden State team that was so good for so long. But just a super wild stat. So, yeah, Doc out in L.A. Ty Lue suddenly has all the offers in the world. So we'll see how this shakes out. But, yeah, the ripple effects here could definitely reach the Pacers and their hiring process. And I just wrote about that today, by the way. So go check that out over on Forbes.com. But let's see. I want to pivot here and talk about how Doc Rivers could fit as the Pacers coach if they pursue that after this short break. So I kind of already brought up my thoughts on Doc Rivers because, you know, I think that, you know, you can't go from McMillan and all his flaws being that he, you know, couldn't win in the playoffs to Rivers, who also has not won in the playoffs. You know, I know he has a title, but that would just seem like an interesting move to me. Now, I think a lot of the flaws these coaches have, Rivers and McMillan, are super similar. Their unwillingness to adjust in postseason series, their rigidness is in rotation. They don't always have the most creative offenses, although Rivers are more creative than McMillan's. It seems like that is textbook the word retread to me. It would be hiring Doc Rivers in replacement of Nate McMillan. Now, something Malcolm Brogdon has said on the radiothon he held that I finally got around to listening to that on my own instead of the aggregated quotes, right? He talked about players coach, that phrase, for a long time. And he mentioned Doc Rivers specifically as a guy that, like, players run league talk about as, like, the player, ultimate players coach. And Brogdon brought up, you know, all this stuff about, you know, the innate feel a player's coach has for when it's a day to take a day off, or like talk with your players, and or when it's good to go hard on them, stuff like that. He praised players' coaches for, not Doc specifically, but he did mention Doc by name, which I thought was interesting. So maybe that fit, you know, that Brogdon really respects him, could bring him to interview with Indiana and get this job. But to me, it seems like he has a lot of McMillan-esque qualities about him. Again, he has a higher ceiling than him and is better than him, but that would seem retread to me and very interesting, and maybe isn't the right move, right? Again, he in his first two seasons he won in the first round with the Clippers, then lost in the first round with 53 wins, then lost in the first round with 51 wins, then they got rid of CP3 and blew it all up, and they won 42 games, didn't make the playoffs. And those 2 years, 17-18 and 18-19, you know, when they were the Tobias Harris, Danilo Gallinari squads, those were the years it was most impressive. He got those teams over 500 looking good, battled really hard with the Warriors in the first round with that. Well, Harris-less was gone. He got traded that year, but battled in the first round that year. Right, it was they were the eighth seed and all that. Battled the Warriors. So, like, the Pacers aren't ready to accept first-round defeats in battles anymore, right? So even if he is the best at coaching that level of team, maybe he still isn't the right fit. Like, losing this year was clearly not what the Clippers wanted. So I just don't know that he's the right fit. I don't know what the right fit for Doc Rivers is, though. You know, I think he's too good to not be an NBA coach. You know, he did well in Boston. He went first-round loss, no playoffs, and then, bam, wins the finals right away. But then he only got to the conference finals. Like, the next year didn't get to the conference finals. Then they lost the finals. Everybody knows that. Then they didn't get to the conference finals again. And then in two seasons, he's fired, right? Or replaced by Brad Stevens. So the year that they won it all, I mean, KG was just un-effing believable. And they still had Paul Pierce. And Ray Allen's really good. And yet they still had to go to seven games in the first round and the second round and six in the third round, right? Like, his playoff coaching record is not that great. So, again, he's a good coach. He's got the players coach stuff down. He's really well respected. And in all those ways, he'd be fine. But I'm not sure that Doc Rivers would be the guy that I would bring into Indiana if I had any say in the hiring process. I don't know what the perfect team for him is. Well, in theory, right, let's talk about what I just said. In theory, it is kind of the Pacers, right? A team that is looking more like they're in the middle of the pack of the playoff teams in their conference and they aren't quite the title team. He gets a lot out of those teams. That Clippers team, that was the eighth seed, he showed that with. The early stage Celtics, pre-KG, he kind of showed that with. But when he has all the stars and has the expectations of doing good things, he has not been good enough, has not been the coach that his reputation suggests. So if the Pacers view themselves as the former of the things I just said, as the team that needs that kick in the pants to maybe win a first-round series, maybe they go with him, but he hasn't really overachieved to that extent yet in his career. And if they view themselves, which it seems like they do, given their comments and things like that, given that they fired a coach after losing in the first round, it seems like they think they're the latter. They're closer to the team that can win and make noise in the playoffs. So I don't think they will go with Rivers, and I don't think he necessarily fits what they're trying to do. And I personally don't rate Rivers as highly as a lot of people who cover the league do. So I don't necessarily view him as a good fit. A lot of people might, and I would understand it. He has won a championship before, right? Championship experience is really hard to get. Players really respect him. He's a player's coach. But sometimes the results, 12 years ago, a title, great. But with his last team, things have not been as good. So I would just be cautious, and I'm maybe Luke cold. They're not lukewarm on him. I'm Luke cold on him. We're like, I would get it, and like, okay, whatever. But I don't know if that it's the right move. But that's my thoughts. So lots of stuff. Oladipo, Turner, Doc Rivers to cover from a Pacers perspective, and I'm not really sure where the team goes, right? Or if, you know, is Doc Rivers going to come in and save Turner's butt with the team or convince Vic to stay? Maybe. I don't know. All this stuff is going to have to happen. But the Pacers are going to have to hire their coach and get this all moving at some point. So we'll have it all covered here on Locked On Pacers. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you tomorrow as Adam kicks off the player season review series. Although it seems like with all the way this news is going, who knows when we'll actually get going on that. So again, thank you for listening, and we will see you tomorrow.